It's Here and Now, and we've been listening to Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton lay out her economic plan, child tax credits, closing the carried interest loophole. How about we get back to summer and Ali Benjamin's beautiful young adult novel, The Thing About Jellyfish. It's a finalist for the National Book Award last year about a friendship between little girls that starts to unravel as they hit double digits. There's parental divorce, bad behavior by Susie, and an even heavier topic that kids might want to talk to their parents about. But Ali Benjamin then adds science, specifically jellyfish. Did you know there is one jellyfish whose bite is so venomous that victims beg their doctors to kill them and get it over with? We spoke with Ali Benjamin about The Thing About Jellyfish last August and asked her how she came to combine Susie's story with jellyfish.
I had been working sort of off and on this novel that wasn't quite taking hold about a girl and her brother. And separately from that, my kids had a day off from school and we decided to go to the New England Aquarium. And we were in the touch tank room, which is where you can touch sharks and rays. And we went downstairs to the jellyfish exhibit, which was just wonderfully, perfectly quiet. And we stayed there for a really long time just looking at these jellyfish through glass. And I was really entranced in a way that I had not expected to be. And I wanted to learn as much as I could. I started reading articles. I started reading magazine articles and newspaper articles and even online academic journal articles. And the more I learned, the more fascinating I thought jellyfish were. And so I started writing about them, not really sure where I was going with it. I was originally thinking that I was writing adult nonfiction. And then a lot of the themes that were coming out in that were really similar to the themes that were coming out in the story I was writing about this girl. It was like these two stories were walking in parallel. And then one day it hit me, like I had this light bulb moment where I realized I was writing the very same story. And that's when the novel really started to take off.
Well, you talk about seeing the jellyfish, as Susie does. She goes to the aquarium and wanders off into this room. And it's stunning to see them through her eyes. Strange creatures, tentacles finer than hair, changing color, like alien ballerinas who danced without needing any music. I mean, graceful aliens. So she has the moment that you did.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another moment. We learn early on that her best friend, this girl she'd been so close with, her mother informs her that Franny has drowned. Right at the beginning, we have a young woman confronting death. Fill that in a little bit, who these two girls were. A lot of women are going to get that. Almost how you fall in love with your first best friend when you're young.
That's right. And our best friends, our first best friends, are often the very first people to break our hearts. When they were in elementary school, when they were in the single digits, they were as close as anything and they didn't need anything else. But at their core, they were two really different people. And they got to middle school, they got to sixth grade, and you start to see these differences emerge. And they continue to try to work it out, but they're growing in very, very different directions. Franny is a lot more social. She's much more of an extrovert. She wants to have a lot of different friends. Susie is awkward and thoughtful and very nerdy, and she loves facts and she loves science, and she connects with ideas and facts much better than she connects with people. And they just start to get pulled apart in the way that so many of us have had friends that we were pulled apart from at that age.
It's heartbreaking because later in life they may become your best friends again because, you know, Susie is extraordinary, but she constantly talks. I'm just going to tick off some of the things, you know, about how rabbits' teeth never stop growing, or they cannot throw up and they will eat their own, you know, or how there are 60,000 miles of blood vessels in a single human body, enough to circle the earth, or there are now so many jellyfish that power plants around the world have been shut down when hundreds of thousands clog their seawater cooling systems. She is the kind of child that, again, when you're a little bit older, you will so appreciate, but at that age, kids don't.
Right. She's got a ton of incredible qualities, but they aren't the qualities that shine in middle school.
Darn it.
Right?
Well, and I'm wondering if this book might go a little way towards maybe shifting that a little bit, because you also turn her into a young detective.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she is handed this information about her friend. And by the time her friend passes away, they've already had a falling out. They've already had a really big falling out and feels tremendous guilt about the way their friendship ended. And then she's handed this information. And like any of us, when we lose somebody, we don't know what to do with it. It feels like it can't be real. It feels like the world owes us a better explanation than the one we ever get. And we want to do something. We want to undo the fact. We want to somehow make things right that weren't right. And her mom says, sometimes things just happened. And for her, that's not an explanation. That's not good enough. She wants more.
Well, it's funny because we are going to have a book down the road, a nonfiction, very scholarly book called The Spiritual Child. And it's about how there's this innate need in children to seek this kind of spirituality and talk about things. And the mom in this book does exactly what you're advised not to do. She cares so much about her daughter, but shuts that spiritual search down again by saying, well, some things are just meant to happen. And I don't want to give away too much. Susie goes off and is determined to find the answer to what happened to her friend Franny. She thinks it has something to do with jellyfish. How did you get inside this 12-year-old mind, the magical thinking, the really, really risky behavior to maybe try to find an answer?
It's a really good question, and it's not one I think I have an answer to. The answer is I really don't know. I know you interviewed Elizabeth Gilbert not that long ago, and she talks about ideas being like viruses that are outside of us that just, if we're lucky and if we do it at the right time, they just kind of flow through us. And there's all kinds of stuff I look at now and I kind of scratch my head and say, I honestly don't know where that came from.
Well, yeah, because it's just sometimes so wildly out there what Susie does. And again, we're not going to tell you, but is this also, while being a book for young adults, is this also a book for adults? I read it that way, to kind of try to get inside the head of what a child might do when they're in pursuit of an answer to something.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of us as adults are still processing what happened to us as kids, and we're still processing some of those big, scary things that are out in the world that, you know, here we are, we're the adults, and we don't have the answers. And we do lose people, and we don't have the answers. And there are really scary things happening in the world, and we don't have the answers. And we're the ones who are supposed to be guiding the kids. It's funny you said that about her mom doing exactly the wrong thing, but her mom didn't have the answers.
Right.
Her mom was grieving this child's loss. I mean, what worse thing than to have your daughter's friend pass away? What worse thing than to have a child in the community pass away? And her mom is grappling with everything just as much as Susie is. Everybody's kind of fumbling around in the dark and nobody has the answers. And so nobody can really guide her in a meaningful way. So she sets off on her own quest, and it's this last act of friendship. She wants to make it right for her friend Franny.
Ellie Benjamin, what do you hope happens when young people read the book?
That's a great question. One of the things that has happened to me since I wrote this book is I'm hearing a lot of people's middle school stories. This book seems to bring back people's middle school experience in a way that's really visceral to them. And so a lot of people are coming up to me and they're talking about what they were like in middle school and what they went through in middle school. And the really interesting thing to me is that it seems like everybody was walking around feeling like Susie. Everybody was walking around feeling like they were on the outside looking in, that the fun was happening elsewhere. And I think there's something so beautiful and so tragic about that idea, the idea that everybody's sort of moving past one another and not able to connect. And I think there are kids out there who feel that way right this very moment, and maybe they'll read this and feel like they connected with someone. And because the book does deal with some of the bigger issues, it does deal with losing someone you love. Maybe years down the road, somebody will remember this book and it will give them a frame of reference for sorting through all of these unfathomable things that we go through when we lose somebody.
I'm just realizing, too, that in middle school, you are like jellyfish. Everybody's just floating by everybody else. They don't connect and they don't know how beautiful they are.
Oh, that's so beautiful. I love that.
Ellie Benjamin. Again, the book is The Thing About Jellyfish. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.